From the Lend Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 16th day of April, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net will join us to take a look at the cash grain market from Windsor, Illinois. And we'll discuss the weather forecast, too. Some persistence, as Mike Tenura will tell us in that forecast. He's with T-Storm out of Chicago, Illinois, on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, futures finished the day a bit lower. The May contract in the corn was up a half cent at 3.19 3/4, but July down a half at 3.26 1/4, and December futures at 3.41 1/3 lower. Soybeans were down 5 1/4 at 8.36 in the May. July down 6 at 8.45 3/4. In November at 8.54 1/2, down 5 1/4. Bean oil off 25 cents for the day. The bean meal down 40 cents. In July, wheat futures down a dime at $5.30 1/2. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Dan, thanks for being with us. Tell me about the marketplace.
Well, I mean, the trend is down, and when the trend's down, you just follow the trend. And I mean, here up until like last week, probably the last time I talked to you, it kind of looked like we were kind of maybe trying to find a support point. But then yesterday we just kind of collapsed through that support point. And now I suppose, you know, it's like anything, when the trend is up, you can keep reading higher objectives. When the trend's down, a chart guy will keep reading lower price objectives. And the problem that we're into right now is we're into such an emotional bearish time frame that it's just spooked, you know, buyers are backing away. We have a lot of supply around. And when you into a market where everybody's got their hands in their pocket waiting, and that's kind of where we're at. Now, you know, I have talked about this cyclical work that the last several times, because that's something that I can offer that's maybe a little different than what other people can share on the radio. But I had this, you know, April 15th, give or take 30 days, as a time frame for a major low in both corn and soybeans. Now, when I look at the more intermediate time frame, and I think we've talked about this a little bit below, is that we still have a lot of basis contracts on both corn and soybeans. And a lot of times, you know, we'll get toward the end of the month, the farmer's going to have to make a choice of whether or not he prices that out, just swallows the pill and prices it out, or he rolls it on into the next futures month. And when he does that, he buys carrying charge. And a lot of these basis contracts were started with the December futures, and they rolled it to March. They bought some basis. They bought carrying charges to the March, and then they rolled the March to the May. So what started out, and I just to kind of give an example, that it might have been a 10 under December cash price, December futures. Then it turned into like a 17 under March, and then now it's maybe a 25 under May. So the position keeps getting worse because the market is declining and it has a carrying charge in it. And the market knows that we have millions of bushels of those contracts out there, both corn and soybeans. And I suspect that the corn and soybean market is going to struggle until those decisions are made again, either to bite the bullet and price it out, and or roll it to the July and hope that there's some kind of growing season rally that gives you enough of the rally to get you back to maybe where you should have been if you sold it last fall. So that's kind of where we're at in that. And as I mentioned, with of course, being a market advisor my whole career, I did spend, you know, the last 7 years or 8 years of my career in the commercial grain industry. And the old saying, as long as the farmers have control of the inventory, the prices are not going to go up. And the reason is because that's future hedge pressure. As long as the farmer has it in his bin, or even if he has it on a basis contract. See, that now when he moved it into the market with a basis contract, that elevator took a long position. So now when he sells that basis contract, then that long position then goes into a sell. So you got downward pressure. And as long as you have that future hedge pressure coming at the market, it's going to be very difficult to get this market to go higher, and that's where we're at. It is still in considered weak hands. Now, once the commercial gets it, then he gets it hedged up, so all that hedging pressure is absorbed into the marketplace, so you run out of sellers then at that point in time. And then the buyers then become to come in, and then they buy it from the commercial, and then when the commercial buys it, then he will lift his short hedge, and then that gives you a buying power on the way up. So then you get short covering from the commercial as the end user comes in and buys that cash commodity. But for the time being here, I'm giving everybody an education, I guess. We have that hedge pressure yet to come into the market, and it's going to make it real difficult. So I kind of think my best guess is the market is going to struggle until we get to the first part of May. And then I guess I got to be optimistic. Now, maybe, I don't expect anything bullish probably out of the May crop report or the May supply demand tables, because I think it'll all be priced in. But we have some fundamental issues. I mean, with crude oil down here at $20, the ethanol market is just about dried up. I got a brother that is a corn buyer for an ethanol plant up in Wisconsin, and they had two plants. They shut one down a month ago, and they had to go to half capacity on the second plant. So they're just trying to hang on, and I'm sure that's going on throughout the Corn Belt, and that's creating less demand for corn, and ethanol has been a big savior on the demand side of the equation. That's a 5 billion bushel market. Hopefully, maybe someday we get it at 6, but it's a 5 to 6 billion bushel demand market, kind of like feed usage is a 5 to 6 billion bushel demand. And then exports have always been the fluctuator that could give you the kick to go higher or the kick to go lower. And right now we have everything on the demand equation in problems. Now, soybeans is kind of getting a kick since we're not grinding ethanol. So the protein now is going to have to come from soybeans. So soybean meal has kind of been a beneficiary of the slowdown in the ethanol industry for a protein source in livestock feeds. And then, of course, the planting intentions gave beans a little bit a better, brighter outlook because we're going to produce less. We don't know what we're going to produce yet, but we're going to produce less. But, overall exports, actually today's export numbers weren't bad. But in the type of environment that we're in, where we're talking about keeping the economy maybe shut down for months, these advocates of wanting to keep this economy shut down for months, I'm not too sure they're really thinking how much damage that's going to do economically to our capitalistic society. And it just seems like we're walking our way into the Great Depression. That's what worries me more than anything. We have to go back to work. This coronavirus, we're not going to get the death rate to zero. It's one of these things that we're going to have to balance, that we're going to have to go back to work. I'm hoping that there's more herd immunity out there than what all the experts are thinking, but that's just my guess. But if we don't go back to work, we don't go back to school, we don't go back to this. It's just going to be a total economic mess. We have to stand up, and we're just going to have to go back to work. And the expense of going back to work is that there are going to be some people that's going to continue to die from this virus. But we have to get moving in this country, or we're going to have the flip side of the absolute worst. And I know that's a bad choice, but we're gonna see all kinds of. We're already starting to see problems, people dying of of non-essential surgical situations. People are dying because they're not able to see their doctor and take care of minor deals. So, but I can rat on forever on that. But until the market feels that we've got our arms around some kind of decision that we are going to go back to work, we're going to have to use every safety precaution that's possible, but we got to go back to work and get the economy going. My big concern is going to be the demand factor. I think it's going to be real hard to get demand to come back. But we got to at least give it a try. We got to at least get back to work and get the economy somewhat back. Probably normal is probably too strong a word at this point, but some kind of normalcy of going back to work and building stuff and just hoping that demand will slowly come back to keep the workers on the payroll, and we can kind of dig ourselves out of this hole that we've got ourselves in. And until we do that, all these markets are going to struggle. I mean, like the Dow, you could probably argue on a technical point of view that the Dow is just in a halfway point. We're spinning around going sideways in here. And unless something comes along to give the Dow some confidence that the economy is going to start rebounding, we could lose another 7,000-8,000. We could be back to 13,000-14,000 in a blink of an eye. And so I'm really worried that, I mean, we just need to figure out a way to get this economy back started again, and just hope that demand starts coming forward. It's going to be slow to recover, but we've got to get ourselves back on course instead of trying to keep us shut down until a vaccine comes along or until some magical cure comes along. That's just not going to happen. We have to accept the fact that there's going to be some deaths because of this virus.
Hey, thanks, Dan. Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas, joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On this Thursday, we're joined by Mike Tenuri. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago to discuss the forecast. We had a couple of warm days. They were really warm, and it's been really cold and has turned a little on the wet side. I'm wondering if that will change much, Mike, over the next several days, and then what your longer-term forecast might be for the Corn Belt.
Well, the first thing we need to do is get through a rain and snow system that comes through the Corn Belt over the next 24 hours or so. It is starting to snow in parts of Nebraska and Iowa, and that's heading due east as we speak. That'll slide through the central and northern parts of the state over the next 24 hours and move through Indiana and Ohio as well. This is not a huge precipitation maker, but we will see around a quarter of an inch to 3/4 of an inch of water with this system. And that's through, again, maybe about half of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, as well as parts of Missouri, Nebraska, and Iowa. So we'll be watching that system over the near term. But after that moves through, it starts to warm up. And so whatever snow we see over the next 24 hours will rapidly melt. Snow just doesn't stick around very long in April. So that'll be gone sometime this weekend. And we'll be watching these warmer temperatures come on in. While that is generally a favorable thing because it will help to warm the topsoil and allow the planters to get rolling again in areas that have been drier, it looks like that warmer pattern is going to also set up a wetter pattern once we get into Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. Once we get beyond then, there's more systems behind it. So maybe not big widespread gully washers like we saw last season, but not completely dry, which is generally what we would like to see at this time of the year. So basically, as we move into the end of the month, turning warmer but turning wetter, and not a perfect scenario for planting.
Sometimes we call this persistence, meteorologists do, and the timing is 3 to 5 days apart, or they're relatively speaking, they just set up about the same time from one to the next system. Is that the case, and do you think it will continue for very long?
Well, you can make the argument that that's been the case for the last 2 years. We can go all the way back to April of 2018, and that was the last time the U.S. Corn Belt as a whole was considerably drier than normal. Ever since we got out of April of 2018, it's been near or wetter than normal, or even much wetter than normal, every single month. So we're talking about 24 months here in a row that were near or wetter than normal, with basically the same thing continuing as they move into the end of the month. So it's going to be difficult to start forecasting a big pattern change just because of what you mentioned, persistence with rain systems moving through every 3 to 5 days. And we can look back in time and argue that this began almost 2 years ago. I mean, that is just amazing to even think about, because typically what happens is you have a dry month, then maybe you have a wet month, maybe you have 2 or 3 wet months, then you have a dry month, another dry month, a wet month. It's always alternating. But we've been on this steady of watching rainfall be near or above normal every single month. And if we go back 2 years, rainfall departures across the U.S. Corn Belt are around 18 inches above normal. That means that every month was basically around 3/4 of an inch to 1 inch wetter than normal, going all the way back that far in time. And that is just amazing. And when is it going to end? It's hard to say, but I don't want to be a hero and start trying to say it's going to come this week or next week.
Are there other places around the planet, global growing regions in particular, that have either developed a more wet pattern or a more dry pattern, a warmer or a cooler pattern, that has the same kind of staying power that this one has had?
We have to keep in mind that all weather across the world is connected, especially when you look at it from a northern hemisphere and southern hemisphere viewpoint, because they have independent jet streams that affect weather in the different hemispheres. But the one thing that's been happening lately is that it's been way, way warmer and drier than normal for a long time now across the European Union, Russia, and Ukraine. The only reason we aren't talking a little more about this is because in late January and February, they were suddenly hit by some pretty big rains, and that wiped out a developing drought. But ever since then, it stopped raining again, and most of these areas were a lot drier than normal over the last 4 to 8 weeks. Now, even though I'm talking about this, it did rain a little bit yesterday in Russia and Ukraine, and that's important because that's where a lot of exportable wheat comes from. It looks like they're going to start turning wetter again next week, and that's only going to leave parts of the European Union in need of rain, especially around Germany and Poland, which is about 33% of the European wheat crop. Keep in mind, they're the number two biggest producer of wheat outside of China. So that is an important thing to be monitoring, but we'd be a lot more concerned about it if the weather pattern that we're moving back into, which is a little bit wetter, weren't about to affect their weather as well and make them a little bit wetter in this instance. So overall, this is something to watch. It is something that's important, but it'd be a lot more concerning if it didn't look a little bit wetter next week.
It's always interesting to talk with you. Thank you so much, Mike.
Yeah, great chatting with you too. We'll chat next week.
That's Mike Tenura from T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Now let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Matt Bennett is here from agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. There's a little sunshine, I think maybe even some snow. Have you been moving in the field?
Yeah, don't make fun of me, but we've been planting some corn and planting some beans. We got started with beans, and then we looked at the forecast for next week, and at least right in here where we're at, we're not looking for much rain here the next day or two. They're talking maybe a quarter of an inch, and then next week our temperatures are going to, warm up a little bit. So we figured we'd go ahead and get after it with both corn and beans. But, we've been at it both yesterday and today.
All right. Well, that sounds like something that'll make you feel good. However, if you look at the markets, I don't suppose you feel as good. Where do you want to start?
Oh, gosh, I don't know where to start. You looked at the close in May Corn yesterday is as low as we've seen in several years, below 320. Looks to me like, you know, there's some people probably wanting to see this thing print pretty close to $3 as far as front month futures go. God forbid we get below three, but this is as low as what we've been in a long time, and it's sure not much fun to look at.
Is it all about ethanol?
Yes, mostly. I mean, there's a lot to do with ethanol. Obviously, the cash bids aren't worth a darn in areas that have ethanol, and then that just filters out, you know. And then you look at, you know, there's not a whole lot of hope, I don't think, for the corn complex when you're talking 97 million acres. Now, I've got to think that some of those acres get scared away, but is it going to be enough to really turn the, you know, turn this big ship around? I don't know.
So domestic usage, I'm wondering if you've thought, I know you've thought about ethanol, about the 97 million acres, and then you've got a series of processing plants that have been closing down because of COVID-19. I suppose they'll come back up. I'm sure they will, but that's got to create some problems for the livestock industry, I know. But does it bottleneck back into the grains at some point, do you suppose?
Well, I think that in a short term, if I look at this from a short term standpoint, not being able to take animals to slaughter, it means you got to feed them. And so short term, you're going to be feeding a little bit more than what you thought you were. First of all, second of all, you're feeding more corn than what you thought you were because you're not able to get a hold of DDGs, and soybean meal is fairly expensive. So, you know, in the short run, I think you actually burned through more corn this quarter than what people thought. But on down the road, I'm a little bit concerned about potential lost demand. I think most of them will come back online, but whether they all do or not, I think is a function of profitability, and we don't, you know, we really don't have the answers to those questions just yet.
Do you have answers for old crop corn that's still in the bin?
Oh, you know, that's a tough one. That is a really tough one. And I would say, you know, whenever we got into the 340s, we thought, you know, that this could get this ugly, you know, and, but now that you're down at 320, you know, how do you cut your losses there? And I would say that on any strength whatsoever, I would want someone to at least move some bushels, but don't expect to get a friendly report in May. I think that's going to be a tough one. And I don't know that we'll be able to rally into that report. So if you're going to get a rally, it's going to have to be on the back end of that, in my opinion.
There is time for new crop. What do we do with it?
Yeah, with new crop, you know, it's early. It's so early in the marketing year that I don't want to make any panic sales. You know, 340, you're 10 cents away from 85% of the spring price. And so, you know, at insured bushels, you're actually going to be protected, you know, in this area. And so I don't know. I'm not a big fan of selling any right in here. If you do, then you've got to be banking on the fact that this market is going to continue lower, because actually, if it goes higher, that's going to be pretty tough for a person to stomach.
Anything on soybeans we should know about?
Oh, I don't know. I think soybeans look a little bit better than corn. You know, the balance sheet, certainly you can make a better case for a long-term rally potentially at some point, but you know, are soybeans going to be held back by your feed grains, especially corn? I think the answer to that right now is probably going to be yes.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much, and good luck in the field.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. He joined us here on the Closing Market Report for a Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.